Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome into the Annie Fry Show. Happy to be back. Annie here. This is not Mike Ferguson, but I'm glad to be here. Thank you to Mike yesterday for stepping in for me. Had a rough couple nights. I'm not sleeping, which is not really something that is unusual for me in a normal situation, but it seems as though my late nights become later with each subsequent night. And the night before, I guess it was Wednesday night into Thursday, I pretty much didn't get to sleep till 6:30 or 5:30 in the morning or something like that. And that was rough. So very grateful for the late minute pinch hit there with Mike Ferguson. Looking at the news today, seems like we got a jobs report, and it seems as though it's not exactly what people had anticipated. Is it what you anticipated when you decide to pay people more to not go to work?
It looks like 266,000. It looks like it was a big disappointment at 266, but maybe I have that wrong. Let me double check the Bureau website here. 1 second. Yes, 266 is correct. Unemployment change, little change of 6.1%. So we have some issues here.
266,000.
Long-term unemployed.
Big revision.
Yeah, that's not exactly what was anticipated, was it? And there's probably a lot of reasons and excuses that we're going to hear from the people in the Biden administration. Chances are it probably doesn't have much to do with the Biden administration as to why that is. Here's the Fox News headline. Biden reacts to weak jobs report, says U.S. still digging out of an economic collapse, but on the right track, which means it sucked before I got here. But thank the Lord you've got me, because I am here to solve all of it for you. That jobs report showed 266,000 new jobs added amidst the rising unemployment. If you look around anywhere you go right now, anywhere you go, you can get a job.
Did we talk about this on the air? I can't even remember. If I weren't pregnant, I would go, like, I want to round up a bunch of newly retired people and, like, change the way customer service is done and have people go in. Like, what, just imagine if your local McDonald's was run by a bunch of people who were retired and just wanted to, you know, do the, to go and get things back on track for these businesses to get, to get everything back to normal. I mean, it'd be like the most pleasant thing everywhere. It kind of reminds me of Disney World because there's a lot of retirees that go down there and they just work to make people happy. What if that was at McDonald's? I don't know. Everywhere you go, you can get a job doing something somewhere right now.
Yeah. I mean, St. Louis just held a job fair. Restaurants held a job fair looking to hire dozens. They didn't get many takers. That's the headline that I'm reading right now.
Yeah, I've seen all these signs posted, and it's gone beyond needing help. I mean, I went to Jack in the Box yesterday because they have. Oh, I'm going to tell you guys, I drank a Coke product. No, I didn't. I ended up getting orange juice. Maybe it's a Coke product. I don't know. But they have one of those big machines that has like 8,000 different flavors in it, which means you can get like a diet Sprite from a fountain. And I went there, and when they gave us the bag of food, when we went through there, inside of it was a little note that was like, would you like to work with happy people? I'm like, well, Jack in the Box, look at you making the effort there. Mm-hmm. Would you? I mean, other than the unemployment benefits, what else do you attribute this crisis to? I mean, people are going out and doing things. They're just not working. And if for these lower income jobs that, I'm just going to say it, aren't necessarily meant to make a career out of. It's meant to, you know, be part-time income for you, to be something that you can do to get yourself from point A to point B or whatever. I don't know what else would be such a driving factor behind this continued shortage, especially considering the trajectory we were on and this momentary flatline, if not decrease. I look at this and I continue to see frustration here. Let's listen to President Biden.
One of the things that that I'm proud of is in the first 100 days that I became president, we have created more jobs in that period of time than any administration in history. But the way I look at that, that's just a down payment, getting us back for the American Recovery Act, just getting us back and getting people. A lot of that had to do with getting people vaccinated, getting 600 million doses of the vaccine, and getting people in a position where it was available.
So according to this Fox News report here, Biden, though, touted his administration, saying 1.5 million jobs have been created since he took office. Quote, "This is progress. This is a testament to our new strategy." Biden said, "We've got work to do. To state the obvious, we have work to do. But let's keep our eye on the ball." This is a testament to our new strategy. This is all right. I'll take your word for it. It's just pretty bizarre. Katie, before we exit to the break here, I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about the baby pool.
Absolutely.
Because I'm seeing people message me and talk about the baby pool, and they're excited about it. But if you might not have heard about it yet, I want to make sure we get as many people involved in this as possible.
Come on over to 971talk.com/contest, people. Come on over to this contest page because it's the Annie Fry baby pool. We are all excited. Baby number four is coming, people. She's coming, and we are pumped. I know all of us are excited, but Annie might be the most excited. Just a little bit.
Oh, that's for sure.
So what we're going to ask of you, we want to know what you think is going to go on. What's the prediction? Date the baby will be born. Time the baby will be born. Weight of baby, baby's length. Go ahead and fill that out for us. Then press continue. We're going to ask your first and last name and your email address. And whoever wins this thing, check it out. Check this out, because I wish I could win. New season spa sampler. You get to choose three of these services: express massage, express pedicure, bikini wax, express facial, spa manicure, blow dry and style, or a natural makeup application. That sounds like the best. Give it to your mom. Give it to your sister. Give it to
yourself.
A loved one. Use it yourself. Go get that fresh cut. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. We are excited. It started May 3rd. It's going to go all the way to May 23rd. 971talk.com/contest.
Super simple to enter. And I will tell you, my due date is June 17th, which, I haven't looked today. 41 days, maybe? 41-ish? I'm not sure. I'm excited. Went to the doctor yesterday and had the 34-week checkup, and everything is good. I mean, it's everything is healthy. It's just really, really hard. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of, did you guys talk much about birthing people yesterday?
Nope, we did not.
Cori Bush, your St. Louis representative, referring to mothers as birthing people just in time for Mother's Day. How does that hit you? I mean, when you hear, I think on these things, and I see these squabbles going on a lot on social media. You know, I know that there is a redefinition of the gender construct going on right now, but there are some things that are scientifically, biologically provable, as in, I can tell the chromosomes of the baby that I'm carrying. I could at 10 weeks by testing my blood, they could tell me about the chromosomes of my baby that I'm carrying at 10 weeks. And those chromosomes mean something. They're not just there. They do mean something. I feel like the conversation is so charged with, it's much like the conversation that surrounds racism. You enter into that conversation and you're taking a very big risk immediately on becoming something that you're not, but people will scare you into keeping your mouth shut. But I gotta say, as somebody right now who is 34 weeks plus pregnant, who has Mother's Day around the corner, what I'm doing right now as a woman, and yes, I get to identify as a woman myself. Nobody gets to take that away from me. So I am a woman who is a birthing person in progress right now. And I gotta say, of all of the things that I can do as a woman, this is pretty much the most powerful thing that I can do, is grow and bring life into the world. You know, obviously with the help of my husband, but this is on me. And if I can, like, go tag Jared and say, all right, you know what? Why don't you take it from here? How do I make that happen? What is the magic wand that I need to make that happen? Because I would like to tag out of this portion of it and hand off the rest of this journey to my husband to take care of it. But I can't, obviously. That's not the way this works. It's not the way any of this works. It seems to me, and I say this from a place that is not judgmental of anybody who feels differently in that they want to identify differently, because I'm not here to run your life. I'm not here to tell you how to live. I'm not even here to, you know, put judgment on you. But I do feel, as a, like I said, birthing person in progress, who is a woman, that in a sense of, like, you know, fist in the air feminism, that you're taking away the most feminine thing that I get to do, have a responsibility to do. And I feel as though my womanhood is being diminished by that. Does my womanhood matter in that conversation? I mean, when we're talking about gender or, you know, sex identity, and we're talking about who we are as people, does it matter how that affects me or not? Because if it does matter, then people need to understand that this is something powerful that women do. And I feel like saying that out loud right now, if I would have said that in 2016, when I first started doing my show on Saturdays, that would be like obvious, right? I feel like now I say that, and if I say that being pregnant, having babies, is something powerful that women do, that should be an empowering statement. That should be something that strengthens me as a woman. And I'm going to be honest, I'm a little nervous to say it out loud on the air. And the fact that I'm nervous to say it out loud on the air makes me feel like I should say it even louder.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, I'm getting pushed up against the wall. And I'm being told who I get to be and who I don't get to be. And I got a problem with that.
So I'm gonna
speak on it. So go, in light of that, enter the baby pool.
I do.
Because as a woman, I made that baby pool happen. So just go. 971talk.com/contest.
I'm so happy that you brought this up, Annie, because I was grabbing a couple clips of people talking about birthing people, and I just felt like such an a-hole, because I'm like, I don't know what this means. I don't know when this terminology came to light. Who are the people perpetuating? I guarantee the people that are saying, now, let's start this, birthing people, they're not trans people. They're people that are super progressive women. There is probably not a trans person that is involved in that conversation. It is probably just super, super progressive women just being like, what's the next one? What's the next word? But don't know what birthing people is.
Hold that thought, because we're going to talk with Gabe about that later on the show. We've got Gabe and Tony coming in, but we got Kevin Wheeler coming up next. And I'm going to ask him the question we all want to know. And I'm going to make him make the case for Albert Pujols coming to St. Louis. And then I'll let him make the case for Albert Pujols not coming to St. Louis. But I want the romantic Albert Pujols return to St. Louis picture perfect end to this story first. So maybe he can work on that if he hasn't already completely presented that to the city of St. Louis. Stick around. Kevin Wheeler when we come back. Tony Colombo in the next segment after that. And then Gabe joins the group here, and we work our way through this Friday afternoon with you. And we are very grateful that you're here. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, as you folks know, I'm very romantic about my baseball, and I would like to see the St. Louis Cardinals take a chance on Albert Pujols. I don't know what Kevin Wheeler is going to say about this. I kind of have an idea in my head, but let's ask him right now.
Hey, Annie!
Let's talk a little business of baseball here.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball.
There's no crying in baseball!
Cardinals, Blues, and more with sports reporter Kevin Wheeler.
Kevin Wheeler, KMOX Sports Reporter, at KevinWheeler94. Go follow him on Twitter. All right, Kevin, I'm going to give you a task now, and I don't know where you fall on the Albert Pujols sweepstakes, if there even are sweepstakes for Albert Pujols right now. I want you to give us the case for bringing Albert Pujols to St. Louis, and then we'll go into not bringing him to St. Louis. What do you think?
All right, so the first one, the argument in favor of him would be, it would be amazing. Like, every fan would love the idea of seeing him with the birds on the bat again. You probably find a little bit of extra excitement from, you know, his most hardcore fans from when he was here. Maybe you sell some jerseys, probably sell some more tickets. Certainly, it would be a moment, right? Like, if he stepped to the plate in that uniform, in the Cardinals uniform, especially later in the year, if you got bigger crowds, I mean, it's going to be one of those moments you don't forget, right? Like, That the upside is, the emotional side of it is a win, right? Every fan's going to be like, yes, this is going to be great. The baseball upside is a lot harder to find, and that's kind of where you go to the opposite side of the argument, is he hasn't been a good hitter for about 5 years. And, you know, I understand the draw. Like, there's two parts of me in this, right? There's the 10-year-old baseball fan that loves everything about the game, and that 10-year-old wants to see Albert Pujols in a Cardinals uniform. And then there's the other side of me that is kind of the grown-up person that's going to look at the numbers and think, but it's not gone well for a number of years, and he's in his 40s. And by the way, he's basically the same as Matt Carpenter, and everybody is mad at Matt Carpenter all the time. So,
it's the truth.
I mean, like, I looked this up yesterday.
He hits from the right side, like, though, off the bench.
He does. But the problem is they need more left-handed presence. So, like, if you compare the two, 2019 through now, they have pretty much identical statistics, right? They're basically identical. The differences are that Albert plays only one position, and he bats right-handed. Carpenter bats left-handed, which is an area of need for the team, and he plays three positions. And it's just, I find it interesting that not so much that people want Albert. I totally get that. But what I think is funny is kind of that dichotomy of, we love Albert, and we know he's not good, but we'll take him. But we're going to scream every time Matt Carpenter gets it at bat. We're going to be super upset every time he gets used. Like, man, they're the same player right now. And, you know, the big difference, again, is the versatility and which side of the plate they hit on.
The other difference might be the amount of money we're currently playing Matt Carpenter and the amount of money we're currently not paying Albert Pujols. I mean, what would it take to get him here? Is there a contending team? Is there a DH position for him out there? I've seen people suggest it'd be fun to watch him go to Colorado and get as many dingers as he possibly could in that stadium. I mean, what's the market for him?
Yeah, so the part that I didn't get to yet, and it's a part of this answer, right, is what does Albert want? Because he's 33 home runs away from 700.
Yeah.
And I would think, just if I were a ball player, that would matter to me a lot, is getting to 700 home runs. Like, that's a number that is absolutely historic. And he already has historic numbers, but if I were that close, that would certainly be a priority for me, which means I need to get some regular at-bats. I can't be a bench player. And then we got the comments yesterday from the Angels, and in particular their manager, Joe Madden, who said Albert doesn't want to be a bench player. So if he doesn't want to be a bench player, it's not really going to be a fit here. But I think that the way to make it happen is pretty easy. I mean, he's on waivers now which means anybody, you know, starting with the worst teams in the game all the way up to the best teams and going in reverse order could claim his contract. But nobody's going to do that because he's due $30 million this year. So if he clears waivers, which he will, that means the Angels have to pay him all that money no matter what. And if anybody picks him up, they'd only have to pay him the minimum. So in that regard, there's not much of a problem with picking him up, right? I mean, if it's the minimum, it's not going to be a money issue that decides it.
Let me ask you, too, about the exit out of St. Louis for Albert Pujols was not a clean one. I think it was pretty clean for the most part at the end with the fans. Obviously, the fans still love him. When he came back with Anaheim, he hits a home run. And
oh, yeah.
Standing ovation. And I was at that game, and it was, I mean, one of my favorite baseball moments, and he wasn't even playing for us. The fans love him. The fans would absolutely, especially in a year where you probably need maybe just a little extra enticement to get people to come back and sit in the stands and buy the tickets, they'd come pay to see him play. But as far as management went with his exit, it seemed as though it wasn't as friendly as maybe we would have liked it to have been.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, I think it's probably not as big of a thing now, you know, this many years later. But, yeah, at the time, he was unhappy with the amount of money that the Cardinals offered, and he was unhappy with the fact, and he's talked about this. I'm not guessing at this.
Right.
He was unhappy that he didn't feel like they were recruiting him, right? Like, he didn't feel like they were putting on the big sales pitch. And their response was, but you were already here, and you're a legend, and we loved you, and everybody, you know, like, why, we don't need to tell you when we already have shown you for 10, 11 years that, you know, you're our guy, right? So it was a little weird at that time. I would be surprised if much of that still lingers now.
Okay, that's good to know. What do you think? Do you have any likely scenarios, any predictions you think of how this will shake out?
Man, you know, so some of the online betting services have actually installed the Cardinals as the favorite, which, again, I understand why that is. I'm not sure from Albert's perspective that's the right fit if he doesn't want to be a bench player because he's not going to play over Paul Goldschmidt. So, you know, there really isn't a roster fit here if he wants regular playing time. But I'd say the White Sox have come up. Obviously, Tony La Russa is the manager there. And they've actually lost two everyday players for the rest of the season in the last, you know, 3 weeks or so. So there's a way that they could create some at-bats for him, but they've got a guy that's their DH right now that's been crushing the ball here in the early part of the year. So I'm not sure. And their first baseman was the MVP in the American League last year. So, again, I'm not sure there's everyday at-bats there. I've seen some people mention the Royals, and I don't know if that's for real. But consider Mike Matheny is the manager of the Royals. Albert lived in Kansas City and went to high school in Kansas City. So there's a home element there. And they actually could create regular at-bats for him, the way they could maneuver their lineup so that he could play multiple times a week. So I'll be honest. I'm not sure that any team is going to be real quick to jump on him. It might take somebody else suffering an injury before they take the leap on a guy that's in his 40s and has been struggling for 5 years.
You might see some I-70 travelers, too, if he's playing in Kansas City, some St. Louis fans who find themselves going over there to see if he's actually, you know, hitting those home runs. They'll want to see history happen there as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, I think everybody wants to have the moment, right, the one you're talking about. Like, you know, imagine that times five because he's back in a Cardinals uniform. I think every one of us wants that. The question is, how does the marriage work otherwise, right? I mean, you know, you like to go to the same places for dinner, but can you get along living together? I don't know. It's a good question.
Kevin Wheeler, Camo X Sports. I'm seeing a lot of people, you know, even on our live stream, coming up with creative solutions like, well, if everybody passes on him, maybe we could get him for one game and he could retire as a Cardinal. But, you know, the standings, they would seem to suggest that we have less of a chance of doing something creative with a guy when we're in first place. You know, I mean, if the team is playing well, it would seem less likely that they'd want to do something that's kind of stunty just to, you know, put people in the seats or get people interested.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that it would be awesome to try it. But, you know, I also agree with the point that you're making here. Like, you're in first place right now, but it's not exactly, I mean, it's early May. It's not like you're in control of anything. I could see that being a thing. Let's say you get to September and maybe you're in a better spot, or who knows? I mean, look, if you had an injury or something, I mean, I don't want to say you would. There are no ways. There's no way you would ever do it. But right now, you need to try to focus on winning games and you know, having a bench with different skill sets. You know, some guys that can play other positions, some people who can run a little bit, is probably more important than having a guy out there because of what he was for this franchise 10 years ago.
Kevin, I want to ask you, you know, we're talking about a contending team right now. Of course, it is early May. I mean, let's talk a little bit about the Cardinals without the romantic idea of having Albert Pujols come back to St. Louis. Are we feeling good about where this team is kind of settling in a groove right now, or where are the issues that you see that we need to focus on, you know, trying to get better here?
I think the issues that they're having now are the same ones we expected. So I guess in that sense, nothing new has really kind of created an extra problem, and we were still trying to figure out how the offense is going to be more consistent and how they'll get more depth of production on the offensive side. But I looked at this the other day. I was talking, in fact, it might have been last night on Sports Open Line. If you had told me on opening day that you would be in first place on May 7th, that you'd be four games over 500, but that you would have Paul Goldschmidt well below his career numbers, Nolan Arenado a little bit below his career numbers, you would have missed Harrison Bader and Tyler O'Neill to pretty long stints on the injured list. If you had told me all of these things, I probably would have said, yeah, you're not going to be in first place. So, I mean, you're 18-14 even with that, so I'd say that there's probably a good bit of upside coming.
I want to ask you real quick before we go. You retweeted something, and I want to encourage people to follow you at KevinWheeler94. The Little League game breakout at Yankee Stadium. I got to say, we're in the thick of youth baseball right now. And is that Stanton who's running the bases, or who was that? That was, he took second, he took third, and he went all the way home because nobody was covering the bases. I'm just curious, as a youth coach yourself, somebody who's been around baseball your entire life and has committed to still being around and helping the youth learn the game. Does that make you laugh when you see that at a professional in a professional game? Because I'm sure you've seen a few of those instances on your own as a coach.
I've definitely seen that or something like that. At the major league level, it's funny when it's not your team.
Sure.
if it's your team, everybody's yelling and throwing things at the TV set, right? But
right.
You'll see that kind of thing a lot in younger levels because a lot of times younger players don't know where to go in weird circumstances, right? And in this case, I mean, I think what's so amazing about this, and it was Gleyber Torres, by the way, it was the Yankee shortstop that was running the bases. And if anybody didn't see it, it's amazing. The ball never left the infield, and he scored from first base. So the Astros had the shift on, right? So the third baseman was way over by second base. The shortstop was on the second base side. So there was nobody at third base, and once they couldn't get him out at second, he's just like, hey, I can keep running because there's nobody there. And the catcher tried to get there but got there late, and he just kept running right past the catcher and went home because nobody was at home plate. And, you know, with the shift like that, it can cause problems, but those guys know what to do, and I'm guessing it was the catcher that just screwed up and wasn't where he needed to be when he needed to be there.
Yeah, it's a good lesson in heads-up baseball and taking advantage of those situations for sure. I laughed out loud watching that. I was glad you retweeted it. Kevin, thanks for talking to us here. We always appreciate it. People in the comments on our live chat are always grateful that you're here saying that they love listening to you as well. So thanks for being here.
I appreciate it. We'll see you guys soon.
We'll talk to you. Bye. Kevin Wheeler at KevinWheeler94 on Twitter. You can go check out his Twitter feed there, and you can see that video of the Yankees-Astros game. The Astros were the ones on defense. It's really actually pretty funny. If you're watching us on the live stream right now, I'm actually playing the video here as well. So you can follow us at Facebook.com/AnnieFryShow or the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We're going to take a quick break right now. Tony Colombo is going to join us in studio along with Gabe Pfeiffer here in just a minute. So stick around. The party's getting started here on a Friday on the Annie Fry Show. You're listening to us on 97.1 FM Talk, but you can also stream us at Odyssey.com. Download that app on your phone and take us with you anywhere you go. And might as well, while you're online, go to 971talk.com/contest and join the baby pool. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That this is a crisis. We all know it. And the federal government must do more to address this surge of migrants who are coming to the border with increasing numbers each year. And Mike, you probably know this, but we're looking at numbers this year that are the highest numbers of crossings that we've seen in 20 years in Arizona. So we really are seeing how this problem has exacerbated and gotten worse.
So that's Senator Kyrsten Sinema, and she is talking about how obvious it is that it's a crisis and we all know it. Wow. Welcome to the adult in the room there in the United States Senate. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Want to welcome a couple people into our studio here. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Hello, Annie. How are you? Great doing to talk fine. With you.
Happy Friday. And Happy Friday. We're welcoming Gabe into the studio a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I'm a freaking genius.
Okay, so you're a rocket scientist.
Brilliant!
Knowledge is power.
So when you hear Kyrsten Sinema say, obviously, that this is a crisis and we all know it, is she saying something she's not supposed to be saying out loud to the people?
It depends on what letter is trailing her name, and I believe that's a D. So yes, she's saying things that are not supposed to be said out loud.
Tony, is it that simple? I mean, it might be.
Yeah, it is. And did you see, speaking of this exact thing, go back and look at the State of the Union / joint session of Congress. There's a point
Do I have to?
There's a point where Joe Biden goes off script when he's talking about the Green New Deal. And he literally goes off script because, you know, the media and certain politicians all get a copy of the speech before he delivers it. So they know exactly what he's going to say. There's a point in the Green New Deal. There's a point in that speech where he talks about the Green New Deal and the importance for climate change and everything. And all of a sudden he references the truth of the fact that the United States is only responsible for about 15% of the pollution on the planet, and that if we don't get countries like China on board with us, then it doesn't matter what we do here in the United States, which goes against what everything the Green New Deal stands for, because the Green New Deal doesn't care about China or falling behind in the world because of all of the restrictions that we would put on ourselves, and claims to be a world saver if we would just do it. And you can literally see when he makes that admission that the United States is only guilty for about 15%, and and nothing in the nothing matters if we don't get other countries on board. You can see Vice President Harris and Nancy Pelosi physically react. Like,
I'm surprised they didn't open the trap door.
Yeah, like, don't say, like, what is he doing? So yeah. So when they go off script, I mean, so
that's hilarious.
Kristen Sinema went off script, just like the president went off script, with a little bit of truth.
Something tells me that Sinema has less handlers than Joe Biden does. I'm not sure. Katie, when you hear...
I don't think anybody has more handlers than Joe Biden.
She seems to be... Katie, do you remember that she voted no on the minimum wage increase, was it? Where she had that
the thumb
big,
down.
Where she had the big bag and she just like walks, she saunters up to the front and she just gives the sassiest thumb down and then she's like, I'm out.
Bye.
I mean,
deuces.
Katie, you talk a lot about your friends. You have these politically charged conversations. How does a Sinema fit into, she's a Democrat. I mean, she's probably a pretty tried and true Democrat. It's just that the rest of her party makes her look like she's reasonable. Mm-hmm. and like thinking on the issues case by case. How does a Sinema fit into those conversations?
I think a lot of my friends would be indifferent about her. I don't honestly think they really pay attention to her at all because she is a moderate. And it's more about the Joe Manchin show. A lot of my friends know about him. And I do have some moderate Democrats in my life that are good friends of mine that advocate for the things that she and Joe Manchin are both advocating for, but they're not as popular because they are in front of the camera, but not as much as a Cori Bush or an AOC or any of the senators or any of the House of Representatives. They're just not in front of the camera as much as these very progressive people are.
You know, doesn't it matter how helpful they are to the cause, capital C cause, because the media is who chooses who gets the airtime, right? So if you have a Sinema come out who is an incredibly dynamic and interesting, far more interesting and dynamic to me than anything that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has ever done or said. And I'll be honest, Fox News props her up because, well, gosh darn it, it's really easy to do that to make your case. You just put AOC up there and you think that the most of the people are going to see her and go, she's a bit Looney Tunes, and then, you know, when AOC speaks, it proves your point for you. Kyrsten Sinema's out there making, you know, a diverse amount. Like, you have to wait to hear what she has to say to know what she's going to say on any particular issue, not the case with 98% of Washington, D.C. Is she being held back by the media because she's not useful?
I think so. I mean, remember that the Tulsi Gabbard controversy during the primaries? Google suppressed searches for Tulsi Gabbard after her breakout performance against Kamala Harris.
That
literally happened. I saw it in real time. Where, you know, one...
The world suppressed Bernie Sanders when he was winning elections.
Well, then there's that. Yeah. And there's
as
that.
His own party.
But I mean, you know, there was definitely a concerted
effort
by... Yeah,
the world controlled by his own quote-unquote party.
Yeah. I mean, well, they had an agenda. They had an agenda going. Yeah. And, you know, they wanted electability at the time as opposed to the Bernie agenda. But we keep seeing Bernie agenda in the electability right?
Yeah.
So they had a plan and it was in spite of Bernie, but it still put, you know, Bernie's ideas at the forefront. You know, things, people like Tulsi Gabbard, people like Kyrsten Sinema, you know, they run so contrary to the standard Democrat line that they can't allow them to have the platform that they otherwise would have, because, you know, there are Republicans and moderates, you know, basically the squishy middle I like to talk about in the country, who would immediately jump onto that thing. You know, Tony and I were talking about how politics is usually sort of a Venn diagram, right? You've got your Democrats, your Republicans, and the circles are supposed to intersect, and the good policy is supposed to come out of the places of intersection with your occasional outliers on either side. But right now, it feels like more and more that the two circles don't even touch.
Isn't it funny how that Venn diagram, if you did that for elected officials in Washington, D.C., and a lot of state governments as well. State, maybe not as much, but our federal positions, those Venn diagrams would look so incredibly different than the American people.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Like, there are a lot of American people. I mean, Tony, you host Second Amendment Radio on 97.1 at 3 o'clock on Saturdays, mm-hmm. and you talk about gun issues, among other things. It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Gun issues, that is something that exists in the center of that Venn diagram. There are a lot of people who are Democrat-leaning, maybe union, you know, lifelong yeah. union guys, but
absolutely.
It comes down... What is this election about? Am I voting on my gun rights or am I voting on my union freedoms?
Right. And either one of those may actually be on the conservative end of things for the first time in a very long time. Well, the union part, at least, believe it or not. Yeah, yeah. Traditional Democrats that there's a lot of traditional Democrats that enjoy their and want to protect their Second Amendment rights. And they're finding more and more that the Democrat Party is not necessarily the party of the working person anymore that it used to be. And there's a lot of union people that feel like the Democratic Party does not represent them anymore.
That voted for Trump. A lot of union mm-hmm. people voted for Trump.
Yeah, we hear from them a lot. Tony, when you know, what was it, like 3-4 weeks ago, all we were talking about was new gun laws. Biden comes out and says his predecessors knew one thing, his successful predecessors knew one thing, and that was timing. And then they roll out some gun reform in the Rose Garden or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We're not talking about it now. I guess the timing's bad.
Right. Yeah. They're waiting for another tragedy, which is so gross and disgusting. But yeah, they know when to. The Democrats know how to roll out an agenda, and they know how to label it, and they know how to make things sound pretty.
And leverage crisis. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And leverage crisis. Absolutely. They're very good at that. And you and people fall for it. And you got to look at what the bills say and what the actual law that they are pushing would do to your rights, whether it be gun rights or anything else, before you just take anybody's word for it. And that's good advice on both sides of the aisle.
It's just dripping with gross.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Sure. The advantageous nature of it, it just is dripping with nastiness. So this weekend, real quick, before we let you go, Tony, what do you got?
So we're going to talk about all these things, the gun rights and all that, but there have been phishing records falling all over the place in the area. We're going to talk to a guy
COVID.
Who just set a state phishing record in Missouri.
Is this 240-pounder?
No, this guy's got an incredible story that has to do with a mentor of his that just passed away, and right after he passed away, his old friend's wife told him, hey, why don't you catch a fish for your old buddy next time you're out? And the guy goes out and sets a record.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
He tells the story. It
3 o'clock tomorrow?
It is amazing. 3 o'clock tomorrow, every Saturday, Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
Good to talk to you, Tony. Gabe's in studio with us. Ryan, Katie, we'll be back. Tony, thanks. Good to
Thank
talk to you.
You.
Have a great weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.